are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, January the 31st. And we got part two with Vince Ellis today. Feels like January's been forever. Am I the only one saying that today? But this is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. The final episode in January, big trade Friday notwithstanding, but emergency podcast possibly needed. Who knows? We'll see how it goes. But if this is the final episode in January, which I suspect it will be, the closing of the record month for downloads for the Locked On Pistons podcast, and by a pretty wide margin. Really appreciate you guys. Let's do even better in February. Obviously, we anticipate a big first week to the month because of the trade deadline coming up. But stick with me throughout February. We'll have some fun. We'll find some offbeat things to talk about. And, of course, we'll still follow the games as well. Today we're going to run down the details for the upcoming weekend. I know you guys are excited about Pistons basketball on Friday night and Sunday afternoon. And, of course, we got part two of our nice chat with Vince Ellis of the Detroit Free Press, the outgoing Pistons beat writer. He's outgoing and he's going out. So in two ways he's outgoing. But excited to share that one with you guys. We got a little silly at times and some fun topics. And you'll hear us stammer through trying to figure out a Piston from last year, actually. And we'll let you try to figure that one out yourself. But this is, give me a follow on Twitter, by the way. Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash. Matt Shook, but not a whole lot in terms of trade news and rumors. We'll hit it hard on Monday, and basically all of next week will be all the discussion about that, I promise. But like I said, we got to get to Vince today, got to cover the quick previews of the games. Everything you hear is that people are very cold on Andre Drummond, not a lot of action there. Pistons, of course, latest we've heard is that they want a first for Derrick Rose. They're not looking to trade him as the official company line. I feel like that's a little bit of posturing, but we will see. Nothing new on Langston Galloway or Markieff Morris. Absolutely nothing on Reggie Jackson or, you know, possible trade partners for Tony Snell, anything like that. Nothing. So we got Thursday, 3 o'clock. We'll see what the Pistons pull off. It feels like the fan base and myself a little pessimistic right now. Not easy. No good answers. Tough spot for the front office. I had one guy tell me on Twitter that I should be fired from Locked On for my Rose trade proposal from Wednesday. You got to love the Rose stands. By the way, the proposal was Rose to Philly for Zaire Smith, Raul Neto, and 2 second-round draft picks, one of them being this year's either Atlanta or New York Knicks pick. So one of the top 3 or 4 picks in the first round, second round for this season, and then a future one after that. And again, love the Rose stands. And I just kind of had an idea as I was about to record. If you are one of the Derrick Rose stands, And you're like hate listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast every day. And I, again, I'm being serious and not making fun. I'd like you to reach out to me because I'd love to have kind of a conversation on the show with one of the diehard Rose stands, and not to get into a big debate or fight. And honestly, not to make fun of you, I promise, or make light of the situations or anything like that. But just to try to understand, you know, what's going on here. What is this guy who's now a very good player, missed the All-Star team on Thursday, but deserves to be in that conversation of guys who were snubbed but weren't really snubbed, right? You got the actual snubs, like Devin Booker's like the snub everyone's talking about. And then you got to make your list of, you know, he probably wouldn't be on the next 5 list of quote-unquote snub people, but maybe the 5 or 7 or 10 after that. And again, that's a credit to him. He's been very good this year. The Pistons' best player this year, I'll go ahead and say it. And obviously we know how great he was before, former MVP, former great player. The injuries derailed the career. We all know that. But like how does that guy get these kind of somewhat nasty territorial, opinionated, and just like exceedingly loyal fans. And again, I know that I probably sound like someone who's making fun of these guys, and I apologize for that. I don't mean to do that. But if you are that guy who's just like so into Derrick Rose, always guys, of course, get in touch with me. Twitter, email, it's Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Email is Matt_SCHOCH@yahoo.com. Still rocking Yahoo. We'll have you on. We'll have a discussion about it, probably after the trade deadline, of course. We got a big week next week. And I'm not talking about the guys who loved watching him this year as a kind of surprising, maybe your favorite Piston right now. And I'm not talking about the guys who are like, you know, well, I'd rather hold on to him for next year because we should get like a mid-first round pick for him at least. No, I'm talking about the guys who are like became Pistons fans just this year because Rose signed him. You're scouring the internet looking for slights from him and stuff like that. I got a zero-star review on Apple Podcasts from one of the Rose stands. Like, it was just like, and I mean, you know, by the way, get on there and give me a five-star or whatever star you think I deserve, because you know those zero stars hurt a lot more than the five stars help. So we got to kind of counteract those kind of things. If you enjoy the podcast, get on, give us the reviews. Obviously, you know that helps the visibility of the podcast on iTunes and all those other great places. So yeah, go ahead and do that for me. Appreciate it. But yeah, where's the Rose stands? Let's talk it out. I'd love to hear. And again, I'd come in peace. We'll just kind of hear you out. How'd you become a Rose fan? What don't people understand about how great this guy is? All that. So I'd love to have you on. Pistons, 17-32 right now. Friday playing at home against the Toronto Raptors, which is tonight. The Raptors on the second game of a back-to-back. They beat the Cavs by 6 on the road on Thursday night. But as we know from Monday night in Detroit, the Cavs are now apparently one of the NBA's best teams. That's 9 straight wins for the Toronto Raptors. And if you can beat Cleveland, you can beat anyone. For this game, according to the injury report from Thursday night, Markieff Morris is questionable with an illness. But how about his brother the other day? Jesus, man, come on. I know we've got an overly politically correct world, but let's meet halfway here, Marcus. I mean, geez, I had a brief thought that maybe that hurts his trade value at this deadline, but probably not. But I don't know, man. Come on, man. Sunday afternoon, 12:30 p.m. for the Pistons, a home matinee against the Denver Nuggets on Super Bowl Sunday. The Nugs play tonight in Milwaukee, obviously a big measuring stick game for that one, and who knows if they let down after that. They're playing right now as I record this against the Utah Jazz, so a couple of tough games, and then just the Pistons on a random, probably dead LCA at 12:30 on a Sunday. Awkward time. Just one of those games where you could expect anything to happen. Certainly, you lean towards the Pistons losing by 60 to Denver, but if I were a better, you should not bet on this one, unless, of course, you are betting with one of our sponsors, and you should always be betting. But man, Vince Ellis coming up next. You get to listen to us stammer and try to think of a player from the Pistons. You'll enjoy that, I'm assuming. See if you can beat us to guess who it is, and I'll tell you who it is after we finish that interview later. But yeah, Vince Ellis coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, don't know if you've heard, but there is a big game coming up this weekend. And are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game, including the big game, and call the winner? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, NBA, and the full swing of college basketball season, March right around the corner, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Are you tired of watching the games from the couch with the old lady screaming at you? You got nothing to gain. MyBookie wants you to get your mind off everything else, tune out the old lady, get back in the game. If you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Yes, sir!
And now we're being joined by the great Vince Ellis of the Detroit Free Press. But Vince, I know this week, obviously, the Kobe Bryant news overshadows everything, the horrific, sure, tragic situation on Sunday. And We've talked about it all week here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But when you have been reflecting these last few weeks, is there a particular moment that stands out to you that you covered him over the years and saw him? I know it was mostly the tail end of his career that you were traveling as a beat writer in the NBA. But is there something that stands out to you personally over reflection over these past few days?
Well, the thing that I instantly came to my mind, and I wrote about it within a couple hours of it happening, was I was there at the Palace for his final appearance at the Palace. I wasn't covering the Pistons during the 04 finals, but I do remember the rights of Kobe chants in 04 when Kobe basically shot the Lakers out of being competitive in that series, because Tayshaun was basically living in his shirt. But those Kobe chants became Kobe chants of encouragement, because, you know, he had that rough day against the Palace. I'd forgotten that he was actually almost didn't play because he had a stomach bug in 2015. And he almost didn't play, but he understood that the place was sold out because everybody was there to see him. So he understood his place in the league. He understood that's something I think that's lost in this. Not that I'm against it, but it's lost in this era of load management. Kobe, LeBron understands it. They understand the responsibility to the league that when they're on the road, these people have paid their hard-earned money to come see them, you know. And I think that's something that's kind of being lost now. Again, I get load management, and I understand that's the best path to preserving players' health. But what about the fan who paid that money to come see that specific player on that given night? So Kobe understood all this. So he went out there and toughed it out and played, and he played horribly. But people were cheering for him to make a shot. Come on, Kobe, let's do it. Hang in there, Kobe. And so I found that basically, almost a decade earlier when they were cheering for him to fail, a decade later they were cheering for him to succeed. So that shows you even the hardcore Pistons fan had a soft spot in its heart for Kobe Bryant. So that was the thing that I thought about.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I think that follows along the arc of a lot of NBA fans in opposing cities, and especially in Detroit, because he was the hurdle to get over to win the championship kind of early into the middle of his career. And then as the Pistons gained irrelevancy, then you were looking for other players around the league to root for. And he was obviously front and center for one of those guys that you had the option to root for, one of those guys that you loved and hated. But it's been interesting to see that obviously everyone's coming around on him, and the situation in itself is so sad that you'd be a fool not to recognize the tragedy of it. But of course, I think that people are coming around on the guy that he was, the player that he was, and warts and all, of course, not a very complicated
game. Of course, and that's one of the things, I'm glad you mentioned that and stuff. People have responded, I think, in a negative way towards people who bring up what happened in Eagle, Colorado in 2003. But, that's part of his story. He's a flawed human being, and I think it adds a richness to his story. Obviously, that was a horrible, horrific thing. I mean, it was a credible rape charge. I mean, if you go back and read the reports. But that being said, he did something bad once, or is accused of doing something bad once. You do something bad, we all are capable of doing bad or evil things in a moment, mm-hmm. But once you happens, what do you do after that? Do you grow? Do you get better? Do you learn from your mistakes and say, okay, that was bad of me and I shouldn't behave that way in the future? By all appearances, he grew, got better, became an advocate for women, especially his support of the WNBA, the girl dad stuff that went viral, Elle Duncan's story on ESPN. And I see all my friends that have daughters are tweeting pictures of themselves with their daughters and stuff. So, that's good stuff and powerful stuff. But of course you have to mention though, what happened then though, to paint a full picture of his life.
Yeah. America loves a redemption story, but of course it doesn't erase the sins of the past. So,
but I would not call it, that's one thing I would say, if I was writing about it, I wouldn't use the word redemption because mm-hmm. I don't know if you can redeem yourself from a rape. But that being said, did he grow or learn or move on? Did he be better? That's all you can ask of people, you know, when they do something wrong. And I think for the most part, he was better.
That's a great point. Great point. Vince Ellis of the Detroit Free Press joining us here. And I know you're going to sort out the future and think about the things that you want to do with your work life. I'm looking forward to years and years of hopefully some content that we can read and come across, but we'll see what happens with you. And I know you'll figure that out, but hopefully even more important than that, you take some time to yourself to rest and reflect on your career too. But most importantly for some of the listeners, are you going to be on Twitter? Are people still going to be able to interact with you? Are you going to come back and be ornery towards people at times if they come after you? What's the social media plan? Have you devised your strategy for that?
Well, I've been practicing actually for ever since that stuff come out. I'm not as out there on Twitter as I used to be. I don't engage in stuff. When I see goofy things that I mentioned, I kind of like, I'm learning, leave it alone. Don't even say anything and move on. I'm not leaving Twitter, even though I do think Twitter is a platform that kind of brings out the worst in people in a lot of ways. Anyone out there who's listening to this that you think I'm a jerk or an asshole from a Twitter interaction, it is mostly a stick or me having a Twitter persona. I am kind of a smart ass. Anyone that knows me in real life, and sometimes my smart ass real nature doesn't come across as just being a smart ass, jackass. Or it comes across as just being an idiot or a jackass or a bad person sometimes, and I'm not trying to convey that. So I'm trying to behave more on social media and not have fun at the expense of others so much on Twitter. So I'm not going anywhere. Twitter is an efficient way of getting news, and that it is efficient news platform. So from that aspect, I will probably never quit Twitter. I probably won't be as active though.
Yeah, well, I will vouch for Vince Ellis on the fact that he is a bit of a smart ass, but also a great guy, and appreciate all of his time. And it's a joy to get to know you these past few years as well and spend some time with you and all the guys on the beat. It's kind of a reality comedy show at times to watch you guys all interact with each other.
That's a good way of putting it. I like that. Reality comedy show.
I think Keith's going to miss you the most.
Now, and people ask me what I'm going to miss most, and the interactions with James, Rod, Keith, Vinny Goodwill before Rod, you know, those people that are friends of mine. So the daily interaction with them during the season, I will miss that stuff there, because it does, you sit around a lot waiting for a coach or player to be finished doing whatever the heck they're doing. And so you have a lot of time to sit there and talk and riff and joke and have a good time. So.
Yeah, I think maybe people on the outside might not understand that, you know, just because you work at the Detroit Free Press, so your colleagues are guys like, you know, Dave Burkett and Anthony Fennec and stuff like that, but you don't really see those guys ever. You see the competitors on the beat that work for other entities all the time. So that's kind of, in some ways, it's a strange relationship because your competitors, obviously, first, but then friends, maybe second, and then kind of coworkers.
I would say, in my way I view it, they're friends first. And compare to second. That's what I look at it. You know, I was actually funny. I was texting with James Edwards earlier about several things. You know, we all talk to each other even when we're not around. He's not even in New York, and it was about a few things. And I don't think he'll mind me sharing this. You know, mm-hmm. when James has something first, you know, because he's young and up and coming. I think James is one of the more talented. I think he may be one of the most talented people in the Detroit market. I love reading him. Great. Very creative. And I tell him that I cheer for him when he gets something first. I'm glad he got something first. You know, that's completely not how we're supposed to think. You know, we're supposed to like, oh my God, why did he get that first, and start plotting ways to get him back. And I may have been that way once upon a time, but I'm not that way anymore. I haven't been that way for at least half a decade. I like it. I like to see it. Matter of fact, and Jay will tell you this true, that the first story he ever broke was something about, I want to say, who was the guard who played for Grand Rapids last year that had the quick shot release, played well in the summer league. There was something about him that he, I can't remember. He was a vagabond college guy. He natural scorer, but probably had a lot of issues going on off the court. It's why he probably is not in the NBA right now.
Oh, Isaiah Whitehead.
And, not Whitehead. It was a young guy. I can't remember.
Before Kalen Lucas joined the
He was a baby. He was right out of college, so he was a kid. He was under summer league team.
Okay. Not Speedy? No?
No. It was did he play Minnesota or New Mexico or something like that or something like that? I can't remember.
Okay, we'll
anyway,
cut this
part long
out.
Story short, there was other stuff going on, and I think they signed him to a 2-way deal, and there was something else major going on, and I was writing about that stuff. But I circled back like a day or two later to write about this them giving this guy a 2-way deal. And it was more analytical. What did it mean? But I saw the news when it happened like a day or two earlier. So I circled back and I saw a tweet, and it said, "So-and-so confirming news about this guy's 2-way deal." Because I saw the Pistons release, but I didn't know anyone had it first before the Pistons release came out. So I did my research and looked it up. Like, okay, who had this first? It was James. And I think his first full year on the beat. Next time we were out, I bought him a beer. I said, "There you go." There you go, you're first. And he actually asked him how it feel to actually have some information you knew no one knew, and you had it first. And he was telling me about how the anticipation, how you feel a little nervous and stuff like that the first time you do that. And I found it cool. I found it really cool. And I try to be supportive when it comes to that stuff. I try to be. There are a lot of markets in this country where the beat writers don't like each other, and they're at each other's throats. I think about the New York market and where I'm at and stuff. And life is too short, man. We're around guys that you see a lot like that to be that way. I just couldn't function that way. And if my employer wanted me to be that way, I know I would have probably left this beat along a lot longer than I would have. So I just can't. I'm not that way. I'm not that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's Dwight Bikes is who you're talking about, right?
It's not Dwight Bikes. It was not a baby. You're talking about these old journeyman guys.
Oh, okay.
It's a guy who was basically like 21, 22 years old.
21, 22 years. I'm blanking on it. And so, like I said, maybe we'll cut that little part out where we stammered and try to figure it out. But anyway, Vince, and like you said, you know, James breaking stories and doing it more consistently now, but we all know from following these last decades.
He's growing. He's getting more and more sourcing. He knows people. That's what happens if you're paying attention. If you're trying, that's what happens.
Yeah, and you did a great job of that for the past 10 years or so, and we know that you were the one breaking most of these stories, and we appreciate that. And Vince, job well done. Enjoy these last couple weeks, and even more importantly than that, enjoy some time off after you step away, and stay in touch with us. We'll be following you and hopefully seeing you as much as possible. And congratulations, man.
Thank you, Matt. Glad to do it. Keep the podcast going. Again, I appreciate it.
The great Vince Ellis of the Detroit Free Press, thanks for joining us. Godspeed. Good luck in retirement. Hopefully he's around us a little bit more. Maybe we'll catch up with him, talk more Pistons memories this offseason, something like that. But we were stammering, trying to think of that Piston. For some reason, it slipped my mind. And if you listen to this podcast, mostly of last year, you know that this guy is my guy, Zach Lofton. I love Zach Lofton. So apologies to Zach for forgetting you so quickly. Ashamed about that as I listened back to the interview, but Vince was talking about Zach Lofton and James Edwards breaking the story about the 2-way deal there. Funny times. But anyway, that'll do it for the week, unless, you know, this weekend or maybe tonight or something like that, if some news, big news breaks in the trade front, we'll try to do the emergency podcast. Got some other things going on this weekend, so no promises. As you know, certainly we'll be back Monday morning at the latest with another episode. We will talk trade deadline all week. Big week for the Pistons organization. As everybody knows, and looking forward to the 3 p.m. February 6th trade deadline. Unfortunately, so we'll get into next week, but we'll have shows at least every day. We'll try to jump on emergency podcasts as quickly as we can, although on February 5th and 6th, the evening of those days, I will be a little tied up. So it's going to be touch and go, but we'll try to get something out as quickly as possible. We'll get into that next week. But thanks again to Vince Ellis for joining us. Give him a follow on Twitter. And as he ends his duty on Pistons beat writing, send him a note. Send him a note on Twitter saying thanks for your service with this team and this tough gig that he has flying around the country for a decade, giving us all the Pistons news. All those guys work a lot harder than I do just sitting here in Detroit, occasionally covering stuff and reading all their stories and formulating my own thoughts to to put together a podcast. Those guys are doing great work in the old media, the new media, all that good stuff as well. So that'll do it for the week. And thanks for listening. The most popular month in Locked On Pistons history. Appreciate all you guys. That'll do it. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying we'll talk to you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Enjoy the Pistons. And we'll talk to you guys later.